Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Welcome to episode 86 of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't hard. Date today is May the 1st, 2012. Man, that really puts it in perspective for me. May 1st, my baby girl is going to be due here pretty soon. We're going to be having a birth. So I wanted to go ahead and throw that out there now just to kind of get an issue disclaimer. You guys be prepared that I'm going to be having a baby due in about the next three and a half weeks. I should be able to build up enough content that if nothing else, I can knock out either a podcast or I may have to do some blogging. I may make a few of those about the blogging, the experiences about having another baby girl for a daughter. However, just be prepared that that may be something that'll happen. There may be some fluctuations right there. Like I said, I should be able to build up enough podcasts in advance. Maybe I can save some interviews and whatnot, put them out there during those days and just keep those days open for me. But be ready for that. It is coming here at the end of May is the prospective due date. Topic for today is ADHD Part 4. What should schools be doing? We're going to talk about the top 10 things that schools should be doing for your kid. Just as kind of a disclaimer, and we're going to hit this again here in just a little bit, not every school is going to get everything right. So if there's some of you out there that are arming yourself with your ammo, you know, for your way to say, oh, well, look, my school's not doing everything wrong, I'm going to yank them and put them somewhere else. That's not what we're going to go for. We're going to talk a little bit today about how do we educate schools as well into what they can be doing. Before we get into that, let's go through some real quick housekeeping. Guys, consider signing up for the episode notification. Guys, I hate for you guys to miss information, but that's one of the number one ways that I get out whatever's going on. And so basically, some people say it's like a newsletter. This is not a newsletter. I don't like newsletters personally. It's a lot of extra info, and I don't like putting it out there. I just keep it simple to let you know what's going on, if it's just a new blog update, or if it's a giveaway that we're doing, or if it's a new special guest I want y'all to know about in advance. That's what we're talking about for that. Guys, also consider signing up for a PTECR, or also you can say becoming a member of the site. All that's saying is if you feel like you're getting 20 cents per every episode that I offer completely free, I always will, that will never change. If you feel like you're getting 20 cents per episode and you'd like to contribute back, consider becoming a PTAC. You can do it in 5-month stints, or you can do it in entire year stints, and that'll actually save you money if you do it that way. So just consider doing that, supporting the show, helping us spread this thing, make it bigger, make it go farther, help me do more. Things like, I'm going to rent a coder or something like that for this website that can run all of the actual website stuff, so that way I can focus on knocking these out. I tell you, one of these days I'm going to do that. And then next off, guys, another huge thing that really does help me out is like me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter. Share the material that you say that you're like, oh, crap, that's really good. I want other people to hear that. Share that stuff. That actually really is helpful for me because it puts it on your Facebook or your Twitter page, and then people want to know what the heck it is that you, then they trust and like you, what you're looking at. They come to your site, they check the site, they come here, and then next thing you know, I've got one more returning visitor that helps me support this show. A little bit of update on how am I feeling today. I went to the doctor. The answer is I haven't really, you know, weirdly enough, I haven't really felt all that good all day until I started putting show notes together. It's amazing how much I love what I do. I'm so dead serious. I'm not trying to be fluffy floo-foo here. I really love doing this podcasting stuff so much that I felt bad until I started working on this. So anyway, feeling better. Went to the doctor today. I got a shot in my butt. I'm going to be honest. They gave me some roids and some steroids and then just basically said, I got a virus. Work it out. So anyway, my voice is doing really good. Even as I'm talking, I'm feeling it kind of falter more than it did through the rest of the day. So hopefully we'll be able to hold it together. We got a pretty, man, we just, oh God, we've got such a awesome show for today, man. Top 10 things that schools should be doing inside here. Again, that comes with a disclaimer. Not every single person is doing everything. On some aside, several of you guys have been listening since the start of the creation of this, particularly around episodes in the late, I think, 20s and 30s. If you guys know, I've been looking for another job because my last job said I couldn't keep doing this podcasting, if I wanted to keep working. And so, anyway, I've got a job interview for this Friday. Very exciting. I'd basically be a director of student services at a local university. And so anyway, we've got an interview for that. Really excited about it. Super excited about it. And anyway, several of you guys that kind of follow the personal part of what I go through, I knew you guys would appreciate that. So let's go ahead and jump in to our topic for today before my voice craps out. Again, the topic today is ADHD Part 4, what top 10 things schools should be doing for your kid who has been diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Now, I've got to set this up with a kind of a disclaimer here. I am not trying to denigrate schools. I will personally promise you this. Number one, your schools are not going to be doing everything that I'm going to name out here. What I'm about to give you, even though it's not comprehensive, it's a lot more than most schools are ever taught on and trained on, which is the importance on having our, you know, our schools be trained and training their teachers in these. But I'm not trying to tear down schools that aren't doing these things. Don't go out and check your kid out of school tomorrow because we talk about this. We got to grow them. We got to educate them, because more than likely you'll move them to another school that maybe does a few things that you like, but they're going to miss things too. So remember this. It is very much so human nature to take the road of least resistance, and schools are no different. They're not bad people. They're not trying to implement bad work ethic. The only thing to it is that they are trying to take the easiest road because they typically have so many kids with so many things to focus on. Sorry, guys. I had to take a quick blow my nose slash take a sip of tea break. So you may hear quite a few of these today throughout the session. So anyway, most of the teachers, most of the schools, most of the principals, most of the superintendents, they just don't know about this stuff. They've never been educated very deeply on these things. So here's my phrase. It may sound cliche and goofy because it rhymes, but it's very legitimate. Don't hate, educate. All right? That's the approach you want to take with these schools. Maybe they're not getting any of this right. Should you check your kid out of school? I cannot, nor I will not, make that decision for you. Maybe there's another school right down the road that really would be a good fit. They do have a lot of attention and focus on this. But I don't want you to think that should be your first option. Absolutely not. Kids, especially kiddos that struggle with ADHD, really need consistency in their lives, or else it's just more stimuli for them to focus out. So don't make a decision like that and set your kid up in the future without really thinking this through. So you might look around for schools that have these ideas that we're going to talk about today. You might want to look around for those things, or talk to the schools about hiring, hiring out people to educate the parents and the teachers and etc. on what all this is. Could be a really, really beneficial thing. We've got a possible special guest that's going to be coming on for ADHD, hopefully pretty soon. I received an email this week from a listener saying, "Trey, can you help me find an ADHD counselor for my kiddo?" And I said, "Absolutely." And we began looking around, and I stumbled across this one lady, and I called her, and it sounds like she's very type A. She called me back very quickly, began talking to her. I feel like she had an extremely good spread of information and whatnot. And so after I asked her if I could possibly refer this family, I still want to look around a little bit more and just see if I feel like there's anything that might be a better fit, but I feel like she's probably going to be it. Next thing I said was, "Hey, would you be willing to come on the show?" I liked her mentality. I liked her approach. I liked her ethics when it came to ADHD. And she said she'd be more than happy to come on. So, but I want to take a little more time to educate, research, and just make sure. I'm very protective of you guys that come and trust me here. And I refuse to put anything out there that I wouldn't send my children to first. And so let me do some more education. I'll find out. Try to get this family hooked up with her. Maybe use this family as kind of some feedback on how things go. I'll follow up with you guys, and she might start coming on as a partner with the Family Podcast Network. So anyway, consider that, guys. But all of that to say, what she does is, another big part out of working with parents and working with kids, is that she also goes to schools and she educates them. And I think that's brilliant. She teaches a lot of behavioral stuff to teachers on how to work with them. And so look for the schools that are doing that, or talk to the schools about providing that. Most schools have budgets for continuous education units, or CEUs. And most teachers have to go get some kind of training in most cases. So talk to your schools about doing that. So I'm going to say it one more time. With the slam of the fist on the table, no school is going to be doing everything that we're talking about here today. Okay? So don't hate, educate. Remember that. We're going to run through that several times. But here are some of the things that you want to see your school be doing when it comes to your ADHD kid. Number one, You want to see your schools being smart about their seating arrangements with your ADHD kid. Putting them in the back of the row in the back of the class, though that might be more convenient for the teachers, is a ridiculous idea. Somebody think as to why. Well, think about it. When you're sitting in the back, what do you have in between you and the teacher? Just a bunch of kids. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm not even ADHD, and you know what? That would be distracting for me. So now you take a kiddo who is diagnosed with ADHD, who has an attention disorder. No bueno. No mixo-wello, right? Sorry, that's Trey Spanish right there. It's not a good thing. So you want them to be set up in a place where they're not distracted. They need to have good lighting so they're not struggling to see. They need to be near... like one of the things that I love is recommending a study buddy. Somebody that is a good role model, the really good student that's out there who's really good about staying focused. Pair them up. Help them become friends, and then they want to be like that kid. And they learn even just how to act that way, which can be a major big thing. And then also you want to set them near the front of the classroom, near the teacher. Very, very important. That's not just important for them not having distractions, but also who's the person conveying the information? The teacher. They need to be the person they can focus on the easiest. So number one is be smart about the seating in schools. Number two, there need to be reinforcement and consequences. We talk about this every flipping day on the Family Podcast Network. The necessity to work with our kids by telling them when they're doing right, and educating them when they're doing it wrong, letting them suffer consequences when they do it wrong. These kiddos who are diagnosed don't need to be ultra pampered in this any different than anybody else. They need to hear when they're getting it right. Don't get me wrong. I understand, and having have worked with kiddos who are just bouncing off the walls, going nuts, balls, berserk, bonkers, sometimes it can be really hard to find that one thing amidst the 50 things you want to donk them over the head for. But you need to be doing it. And here I'm telling you something else. Just like I tell you, for a kid who doesn't have any diagnosis, you need to be telling them way more of the good stuff they're doing than the bad. I understand. Some of you parents out there who have kiddos that are diagnosed with ADHD, you just facepalmed yourself. It's necessary, even for them. They need to know when they're getting it right. They need to be praised and reinforced and celebrated for getting things right. Make sure you're paying attention to that. Keep very clear, predefined. Now, when I say predefined, what I mean is come up with them and talk to your kiddos about them before the consequence happens. So they need to be clear, predefined reinforcements and consequences. All that's saying is come up with, if you do this when you're not supposed to, here's your consequence. When you do this like you're supposed to, here's your reward. Here's your reinforcement. A reinforcement is just anything that'll make a behavior happen again. So make sure that you talk that out with them. It must be used consistently. If they get it right, give them the reinforcement. If they get it wrong, let them suffer the consequence. Every flipping time. So Trey, that's time consuming. Yes, parenting is. It really is. We have amazingly well-behaved kids. We don't have that because we just let them go on their own. It's because we've shaped and molded them. We've taught them and trained them. We've explained to them why we do the things we do. And that's why they act well. Not all the times. Don't get me wrong. My kids can be hellions too. Don't mishear that. But clear, predefined reinforcements and consequences, they must be fair. They've got to be fair. We talk about this all the time on FPN. They've got to be fair with your ADHD kids too. Don't make an unfair rule for your kid. It will backfire and punch you in the face later. Be fair about your rules. Keep a regular routine with your reinforcements and consequences. Make sure that you have them. You do this, you get that. You do this, this is your consequence. Keep regular breaks when it comes to this as well. A lot of times, these kiddos, I mean, I'll be honest. As an adult who doesn't struggle with this, you put me in something, doing something long enough without a break, my eyes will glaze over like donuts. I don't hear what you're saying nearly as well. So I highly recommend, make sure that your teachers are taking regular breaks with your kiddos. Have the ADHD kiddo be a helper. Remember, kiddos like to be distracted, and it's easy for them to get, and they get bored on certain tasks. And so have them get up, and if the teacher's teaching and lecturing and they need to hand out papers, talk to the teacher about your kiddo being that kid that gets up and does that. Because that can be one more thing that they can get up and go do, and it keeps them occupied and trained, keeps them from getting bored and then losing their attention. Okay? It's a huge one. I love that one. Change up the reinforcers. Right? If you're giving them stickers, but they hate stickers, well, whoopity-doo. I'm not motivated to do something I don't like. If every time I did something well, somebody bought me a baseball, I'd be like, oh, great. But every time that I did well, if you gave me something like a gift card to Academies, woohoo! I am motivated. My wife knows. My wife knows this too. Because she will go out and buy me things like flashlights. Smart lady. I love flashlights and pocket knives and pens. I don't know. It's just a thing of mine. And she's got that figured out and she does it. Guys, forgive me for my voice. I'm trying to keep it liquidated. But it's just slowly starting to phase out the minute I start talking fast and hard. Okay. And then also figure out what is your kiddo like? What are reinforcements for your kids? You know, anything that's going to be biologically related suits my daughter just fine. She loves horses and jellyfish and biological cool stuff. Not real jellyfish, by the way, but, you know, toys of them and stuff like that. But my son would rather have a Spider-Man anything. It could be I think my son would pick a Spider-Man, you know, paper napkin, you know, over like a dinosaur toy. I'm pretty sure of it. So know what your kids like. Make sure your teachers know what they like and help them make those reinforcements. And that doesn't have to just be like physical, monetary type stuff like toys. Just if you know that your kid likes to be touched and patted, make sure the teacher knows that. If they know that they just like to hear good job or like fist bumps or taters or being, you know, praised in front of the, you know, people, let your teacher know that because that can be an amazing thing. Number three, what should your schools be doing? Number three, multimodal learning. I love what's called the VAKT model, which stands for visual, auditory, kinesthetic, tactile. That is the best kind of learning, is that any learning that maximizes those four is the best. Say, well, what the junk is that, Trey? Number one, visual, seeing things. Some of you guys out there learn the best just by seeing it. If you're shown it, you learn it, you remember it, and then you do it well. That's how you study. You would just look at your study notes and you did fine. You're a visual learner. The photographic memories that some folks have is very visually steeped. Next off, auditory. These are the people that learn the best by hearing it. You are the ones out there that you learn, excluding like a learning disorder, like dyslexia or something like that. You guys are the ones out there that you learn it the best by hearing it. So you like books on tape, and you memorize things really well with that. You are the auditory learners. Next off is the kinesthetic. Now, I'm always a little bit weak on this one. I'm going to explain this to the best of my knowledge and how I've done it. But I've always understood kinesthetic being the actual form of movement, whenever movement is added. Okay, I went and looked this up just to make sure that I was absolutely clear on this. Okay, so kinesthetic learning is just what I thought. It's a style of learning that takes place by a kid whenever they carry out a physical activity rather than listening to or merely watching a demonstration. People with kinesthetic learning style are often referred to as doers. They're the ones that say, you know what, don't tell me, don't write it down, just let me do it. Just let me do it, let me make my mistakes, and let me get better at that. They're the doers. And then last is tactile. A lot of the places that I've seen, this is done by a person named Fleming, and a lot of the VARK or VAKT model, you often see that they'll knock out tactile. I go ahead and include it because tactiles are the ones that need to touch it. It's not even necessarily about doing it, but they need to touch it. They need to feel it. They need to know what's going on there. It's not enough, you know, just to sit. So the emphasis is really on the actual doing what they're seeing. A lot of people blend tactile and kinesthetic together. But the best kind of learning that you can do for your kiddo who is diagnosed with ADHD is allow them the ability to learn through all. Sorry, yes. The things that I do before pre-show is that I always shut my phone off and grab this bell off the cat. Well, the cat went ninja on me, and I couldn't find him, so now I got it shut off. Sorry about that. So anyway, the best that you can do with your kiddos that have ADHD, and personally, as a person who has done personal speaking on multiple occasions, I've guest lectured for multiple different schools here in the town I live in on a professorial level. I found that everybody reacts better to that, but especially ADHD. When you're doing something visual, so you give them pictures to look at, on like an overhead projector. And then auditory, that's the lecture part. You're talking to them. But then also kinesthetic, you know, having them get up and do something or turn and do something active. And then tactile, having them feel something. If you've got something that you're showing them, pass things around to them. And that can really help them learn, or having them write something out. They call that muscle memory, right? So when you mix those things together, people learn better that way. I highly recommend it, and your teachers seriously need to be doing it with your kiddos who have been diagnosed. Very, very, very important. Number four, your kids need flexible testing. A lot of these other ones I'll let slide in most cases. You know, okay, school's not providing that. Meh. This next one, number four, flexible testing, is one that I don't flex on. Your kids who have been diagnosed, no matter what level, more than likely need a testing facility or a testing environment that tailors to them. Because if not, we're just setting them up for failure and then low self-esteem. Because they can't focus, they do crappy on their test, Well, I must be retarded or stupid or an idiot. I'm not a school person. Oh, bull. You just don't have anybody tailoring to your personality. Traditional classrooms for your kids just won't work, especially in testing. They won't work. I think a lot of parents take this real personally. They think, what have I done wrong? What's wrong with my kid? Why are they not smart enough? You know, it ain't nothing like that. Your kid is awesome and beautiful. And my guess is they're wicked smart. I just watched Good Will Hunting this weekend. Remind me of that. They're probably wicked smart too. But they have a hard time taking tests. So you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you can't take a test without having a brain fart, what good is that going to do you? So they need different testing environments. They've got to have them. For number one on this is they need more time. They're going to need more time to take tests. Imagine that you're super distracted one day working on a project. What happens? It takes longer. That's normal for anybody. Especially normal for our kids who've been diagnosed. You know, let your kiddos see if they can do it on a computer or do it auditorily or orally. Have the tests read to them. The test questions read to them, and then they answer. So that's one less thing that they've got to stay focused on. Have them use a computer. There's been lots of stuff out there that has shown that when kids are allowed to use a computer, they often test better. There's just something about it. Again, it stimulates them visually, stimulates them auditorily, tactile, right? Kinesthetic, because there's movements of the mouse. It's engaging all of those things that help them stay focused. And then last, take-homes tests whenever acceptable. You can't always do that. Can't always take a take-home test. But if you can, if the kids are doing it open book, can the kid bring it home and take it at home? Number five, we need to be incorporating our kids with tools. They do not naturally process. They do not naturally remember and learn and organize like a typical person that you might expect. So we need to give them the tools. That is what separates the majority of Homo sapiens from other genus and species of animals, is that we got smart and said, make tools. So it makes a lot of the different kinds of apes that are out there fascinating, is that they'll make tools, like they'll shove sticks that they'll lick down inside of termite holes and then bring out. That's tools, right? That's making our life easier by using an object that we can create or find. We need to do that with our kids, too. It's just helping them create that organization through tools. Number one, they need a homework folder. They need a folder where they write down every assignment that happens. When the teacher says the assignment for today is, they write that bad boy down. And they put down their homework assignment right next to their math sheet, and they bring it home or they take it to class with them. Need a notebook, a homework folder. Number two, they need a notebook. There need to be dividers for every single class that they take. Every single subject needs a different divider. You also take this same notebook, put the homework folder in this, and then things like a class schedule reminder to let them know what time class schedules are, what time do they need to be where. Because a lot of times they just get so distracted they can't think about these things. Next off, their desk needs to be a little bit different. One of the tips that I got from 102 Practical Strategies that work for ADHD kids for reducing the deficit, they recommend having a basket. I love this. A basket under the desk. That's friggin' brilliant. I was like, no, wait, what? A basket? Makes perfect sense. put a basket under there. They get out what they need, but now they've got all their extra supplies, putting the basket underneath the table. Get the distractions off the table. Get the pencil that they could roll off the table that they're not using. Get the extra paper that they could flick and you know, flip through, or that they could doodle on off the table. Although, I read an article a while back that showed that kids that doodle retained up to 25% more information than those that were told not to doodle. So, it's another thing you might talk to your teachers about. Don't go psychotown on them just because they're doodling. They might actually be trying to help remember and learn material. And then last, you can also help them spruce up their lockers. You can do color codes that show when the different sections, when the different times of classes are, and then correspond that with a different color that you tape the color to their book. So then when they get there, they can say, okay, I'm in third period because it's this time. I need the binder with the bright yellow binding. Pull that book. Just one less thing they've got to jack with. That's a tool, right? That's a tool. Top 10 things that a kid should be doing who's been diagnosed with ADHD. Number 6, study buddy notes. Have the kiddo take notes. Have them practice note-taking processes. Some of the information I've read has been teach your kids about how to take notes effectively. I can't get into it today. I excluded it from the material for time's sake and for my voice. But you can look more into study notes, too. It's very, very important. And also, if they have a study buddy and the teacher will allow it, allow the study buddy to copy the notes, your kiddo to copy the notes of your study buddy. That can be a really helpful thing, is whatever they might have missed through their attention deficit, you know, they might have that person be there to help pick up on it. Number 7, skimming. Teach your kid to skim. Yes, I said it. Some of you out there that are type A just thought I blasphemed against the school spirit. No. Help teach them to skim. Yes, I am saying teach these skimming skills to our kiddos that are ADHD. Because, I mean, I want you to think about it. You're trying to ask your attention deficit child to study for a long time. You see, I mean, do you see a picture with this? It's wrong? I do. It's called an uphill battle. Teach them to skim over the material, to look at the key components, to go through and pick out the main key words that might be on the test. Have them go back and review, how does your teacher test well? You know, how do they? What does their test look like? They prefer vocab, or they prefer content, or they prefer essay. And then help them gauge and kind of focus in on that. Or at least that kind of style, if nothing else. And then have them skim over it quickly. Now, that alone is not effective. You must add it with number 8. You must do what's called the multi-pass strategy. Go over the study material several times. Run through it and just skim it and go through it that first time. Are you going to get every single piece of information? Absolutely not. But run through it from the start to the finish and then start over. Go back over it again and re-skim. See how much you can remember this time. Go over it as fast as you can. Stop. Start back over. And keep doing that over and over and over. Even if you're not retaining every single piece of information, go over it again. Multi-pass strategy has been shown. Research has proven that it works much better with kiddos that are ADHD. I'm going to be honest. I used this approach whenever I was studying for both my bachelor's and my master's. It's how I got through everything. Multi-pass strategy and skimming. Number 9, and this is not, again, this is not a recommendation that I'm making to you because it worked for me, it must work for you. This is research-based. This is not Trey's opinions here. This is what has actually worked. Number 9, one of the most absolute important ones. It's not my favorite. I'll tell you what my favorite is in the next one. But it's one of the most important ones. You need to have, listen, parents, if your kid has been diagnosed with ADHD, listen very carefully. You need to break down whatever social barriers that you are having about this. And you need to have daily comms with your teacher. Comms is just a military short for communication. You need to be having communication with your teacher. There need to be daily comms with your teacher. You can say that 4 times. It was on purpose. It was to help you retain information. It's another study skill habit right there. You need to be having daily comms with your teacher. Going back to comms with your teacher is vital, 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 vital. You're so ready to beat me over the head with this, but it is vital to your kids living up to the consequences that they suffer. If they're at school, And they chose to go ahead and let that ADHD kick in and not do what they were supposed to do. You need to know about that so that you can reinforce the consequences. If you don't, it's a lot like whenever couples get married and then separate and the both of the parents aren't honoring each other's rules. Kids will exploit the crap out of that. It does not need to be happening. And it does not need to be happening between you as a parent and your kid. And you as and your teachers, excuse me. So talk to your teacher every single day. Email is okay. I recommend phone. More than phone, I recommend get up in the grills. Talk to them face to face. Say, well, Trey, that's a lot of work. I agree. Kids are a lot of work. If you've got a kiddo with ADHD with nobody out there that's really well trained and showing them how to deal with it, that's up to us, and so it's going to be hard work. But it pays off. It gets easier. It can get better. Hang on to that. So have daily comms with your teacher just so if nothing else you can say, well, you know what? Your son or your daughter today did this, and we talked about them not doing that. And you know to take that home, and they don't get DS-lite or whatever it is, or they're going to have to spend extra time on that assignment they farted around with. Very, very important. Number 10, I told y'all I would tell y'all what my favorite is. Y'all can't tell, I'm super fired up about this topic. This is so much fun today. Number 10 is cueing. It's one of my personal favorites. Remember, whenever we try to talk to and communicate to kids, what do we use? In almost all cases, it's only our verbal. We may have some nonverbal because we're mad. So we got our arms crossed and we're frowning all frumpy. Grumpy gills. As Dora would say. Or not Dora. What is her name off of... I can't remember what her name is off of Finding Nemo. Dory. I think Dory would say. So typically we're giving them that body language, but that's it. Cueing. What is cueing? What can we do to cue? Give them some other stimulation when we're communicating to them. My favorite, and I love this, integrate ASL, American Sign Language, into your speaking. When you're talking to your kids, have your teachers do this too. Have them integrate some of the basic things that they say into what they're doing. Teach it to the whole class. First off, I mean, you're teaching another language. And second off, it can be really good for kids. So that way, if they're really tuning us out in our language, and we make eye contact with our kiddos who've been diagnosed, and we give them the good job. I just did the good job right there in sign language. I love using that one with my kids. Practice that with them. And you will often see some pretty great expressions. I mean, first off, it's kind of like your own classroom's quote-unquote language. Who doesn't like that kind of special thing like that? Your kid will probably like it too. But at the same time, it's also really it's really hitting on both that auditory and that visual. Very, very important. And if they're repeating what you're saying or they're giving you something back, boom, shaka. Yeah, baby. That's some kinesthetic right there. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm going to get some of that mixed up in there. My personal favorite. Well, guys, that is all 10 of the top 10 things that I recommend schools be doing and that they need to be doing. Are they going to be doing all of these things? Absolutely not. Should you leave your school if they're not doing most of these things or they're not doing any of these things? Again, it's not my decision to make for you. My recommendation is don't. Don't leave just because of that. Because that can have some more, you know, devastating effects on your kids. I'm not suggesting you don't sit down and talk with your kids about it. And they may be like, oh, this school sucks, man. Let's get out of here. I don't have any friends. And that might be worth it. So I'm leaving that door open for you. But just because we talk about this doesn't necessarily mean that you should leave. Do your kids have really great friends? That's something to think about. And then in that case, it might be more worth it to educate them. To teach the educators how to work with kids like this. How do you pitch that? Not only are you teaching them how to work with my kid, who I'm sure this is the conversation you have with the teacher. Not only can we bring somebody in that can teach you how to work with my kid, and I know my kid makes you want to pull your hair out, they make me want to pull my hair out too. So not only will it teach you how to work with them, but this is education that you'll be able to keep with her. It's not the last kid you're ever going to see that's been diagnosed ADHD. So this is something that can pay off with you for now, forever. I mean, who doesn't want that? So be ready. Don't hate. Educate, Teach your schools what they can be doing, what they need to be doing. And check for these things. Check for these things. Because remember, as always, when it comes to parenting, squeaky wheel gets grease. Well, guys, that's all that I've got for today for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids. And even those that aren't, sure to appreciate you guys. Cannot tell you guys how much I love doing this. And you don't know why I love doing this? Because of you guys. Because of the listener that emailed me at the end of last week and said, Trey, can you help me get in touch with somebody who's an ADHD counselor in my area? I love doing this. You guys make this worth it. You guys rock my face off. I'm not just saying that to be all oochie-goochie here. I really mean it. You guys really rock my face off. Thank you for the comments on Facebook. Thank you for the likes and the retweets on Twitter. Sure appreciate you guys. Hey, you guys have a great day. Remember, it's all about your relationship. And when it comes to ADHD kiddos, it's even more so about that than ever. It's all about the relationships. You guys have a great day, great evening. We'll see you guys tomorrow.